Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pomp's not here. Get over it. He'll be back. He's out playing golf. What are we doing here? I was watching a segment on ESPN about Caitlin Clark last night, who got scraped across the face by one of the players on Connecticut. And then Marina Mabry comes in while Clark is like checking her eye and stuff and blindsides her and knocks her to the ground. And that Mabry's not kicked out of the game and she's not going to get suspended. And then I'm watching ESPN here. Hi, Sean.
Hi,
is that Sean Gentile on there?
Oh, that's the other Sean.
Yeah. He looks older than he used to. Well, I guess he is. How are you, Sean?
Are you bringing me in like that? Good God.
I haven't seen you, I don't think, since before the pandemic. I'm not saying you look bad, just older than you did. Perhaps you looked unusually young before.
It's 5 years ago, Joe. I'm 39 years old. What are you going to do?
Well, now I feel bad or sad. You look great.
Well, you hurt my feelings. That's okay.
So... let me finish this thought because I'm frankly pissed off about this right now. Watching a segment on here, and the one ESPN panelist says, just don't use the word jealousy because they're not jealous. Yes, they are jealous of her. And if officials in that league don't protect her better than they are, like last night, I would start to threaten to sit her in places like, I don't know, Atlanta. That gets 6,000 people unless Caitlin Clark comes to town. Then they move it to the big arena and get 20,000. What are they doing? And there's absolutely players across that league that are jealous of what's happening with her, Sean.
It's very funny to see people pretend like they're not. It's crazy that we're in year two of being like, oh, no, this is actually nothing personal, nothing specific right. to her. Or like, this is just a coincidence. And look, it's true, like, WNBA is a physical league. It always has been. They are hard on young players. Like, that's been true. That's been true since the jump. And I think a lot of people are just kind of figuring that out for the first time, maybe because they're newer to watching it. But man, like, you can't deny that something else is going on there too. Last night was wild.
I mean, it was crazy. It was entertaining. Don't get me wrong. And I agree. I saw Stephen A. Smith saying, listen, she's not shy. She's like Larry Bird. She ticks people off too. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. And I love watching it. But please don't tell me that jealousy. Marina Mabry was just, you know, drenched in it when that happened last night. It was crazy what happened. And they just watched it. She got scraped across the face, not because the other player was going for the ball. I forget who it was. It's her college rival. I forget who it was. Mm-hmm. She blatantly, like, scraped her in the eye. And then a gutless blindside shot from Mabry. I swear, if I was Indiana, if I had a better record right now, I'd be like, yeah, we're coming to Chicago, which also doesn't get the greatest crowds, except when I come to town. Guess who's not playing tonight? You know what I mean?
Imagine if that happened, too. You have the Angel Reese... Caitlin Clark dynamic that everyone's been pushing down our throats for the last however long, and she's like, "Oh, I'm actually going to sit this one out." Imagine what would happen. The discourse around Caitlin Clark and in the W right now is just, it's fraught. Lots of landmines that we could be stepping on right here. But yeah, it's still, man, it's entertaining. It's entertaining stuff. I found myself pulled away from other sports last night.
Oh, it was crazy.
The last couple days, paying attention to that.
It was great. I mean, to me, the bottom line here is a couple of things. And I didn't intend to get into this story, but we were just watching the piece on ESPN.
I don't care. I'd rather talk about basketball than hockey, man. You know this about me.
More than half the league has attendance under 10,000. I was thinking about this. More than half the league. The Washington Mystics average 5,000 people a game. I can get 5,000 people. That's like Duquesne home basketball games. What are we doing here? No insult to Duquesne, which I love. It's one of my many alma maters. I drank a lot back then.
What was the final count on alma maters for you?
I drank a lot back then. It was chronically unhappy. So I was trying geographic cures. I was trying all kinds of cures. I went to Cortland State for a year. Didn't like that. Had a girlfriend at home. Mm-hmm. Of course, I came home and she broke up with me. So that turned out well. Went to the University of Buffalo. Went to Damon College, where my dad taught, because I figured I didn't know how to do anything else. I might as well teach. Then, for some reason, came to Duquesne to get away from the people in Buffalo that I blamed for bringing me down. And that's how I wound up in Pittsburgh at little old Duquesne University. And you throw in CCAC, and we have a full basketball team, Sean. That's five of them.
CCAC, Northsider boys.
Northside. And enjoyed it very much, I might add.
I didn't know about Damon College. That's the one that's news to me.
Yeah.
I knew about the other ones.
Sort of a Point Park equivalent. But back to Caitlin Clark for a moment. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this morning. Maybe Tiger Woods, except that golf was already pretty darn popular, thanks to people like Arnold Palmer in a big way, before Tiger got there. But still, he revolutionized and transformed that sport. I don't think there's ever been an athlete who has so radically transformed a sport as far as interest goes than Caitlin Clark in my lifetime. Am I wrong?
Over the course of like two calendar years, I don't know who else it would be. Like, I think you could probably, if you wanted to point to other athletes, maybe over the course of their careers or over the course of a decade, like for other people, it was a slower build maybe, but I mean, in terms of what's happened since really the end of her junior year at Iowa, probably is when it really started to, really started to fire up. I've certainly in my 39 years. And since I look like I'm 60 or whatever you were implying at the start of this, like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
No, it's like these stats come out like, oh yeah, seven people watched this game last year, 2.6 million are watching this year. It's like, it's ridiculous. The revenues, the attendance, the television, I have never seen anything like it. And anybody who says that there are not lots of people in that league who seem to hate her for it, I think they're deluding themselves. They're mm-hmm. jealous. Mabry was a prime example. Last night, that didn't just come from nowhere, I think.
Yeah, and I'm grateful, honestly, that Clark exists for people like Asia Wilson and players like that who are elite MVP caliber WNBA players who are getting more shine now too. Like Asia Wilson has a shoe; it's those pink shoes that we saw Obi Toppin wearing during the NBA Finals,
yes.
and all that stuff. Like there's a level of attention that's being paid. You know, it's the rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. I think that's a play there, and that's what maybe people lose sight of. She's making everybody a lot of money. You would think that would win out more often.
Yeah,
than
I
does,
mean,
but
that's
what
just
do I know?
Simply a fact. All right, moving mm-hmm. on to hockey. I texted you. Let's first place these Panthers in context. I was talking to another hockey aficionado today, a longtime hockey guy, who thinks they might be this team this year I'm talking about, might beat any other cup team since the year 2000. What do you think? Where do you place these Panthers in this particular century since 2000 in terms of ranking cup winners?
I think they have to be there. For me, the 08 Red Wings are still the best, certainly of the cap era. I think that team was stacked and dominant in the regular season and in the playoffs in a way that we really haven't seen.
Yeah.
But behind them, stuff gets a little, it gets a little fuzzy. You could argue 22 Avs, who were really, really, really good. And that's, I know that's like kind of the most recent one on the books, but you know, that's not hindsight talking either. I think if that's where, to me, that's where Florida is at this point. They're maybe not first, but they're in that immediate conversation, you know, behind those Red Wings. I think the 2013 Blackhawks maybe are also in there, yeah, as well, just in terms of like wire to wire dominance, and then the caliber of teams that they beat in the playoffs. That's a big thing to consider too. Like, this wasn't the Florida Panthers mowing down a couple early cupcakes, right? Like, they beat Tampa Bay in the first round, who was a team that a lot of people picked to beat them in the first round.
Yeah.
Second round's Toronto, who we can make fun of them all they want, and we love doing it because the Maple Leafs are a punchline and deserve to be on a lot of levels, but it's a pretty good hockey team this year, right? And they gave them a tough time and came back in a seven-game series and took care of business there. Carolina's really good. And Edmonton, you know, for as out of place as they looked and for as out of their depth as they seemed, they beat Dallas. They beat Winnipeg. They beat some really, really good teams in the Western Conference playoffs, and they did it pretty handily. So, yeah, I think once you consider all of that, Panthers maybe not top, but they're top three.
Were you there last night?
No, I was there for the first three rounds, and then they let the big boys at the Athletic take over for the final. It was LeBron and Mike Russo and Chris Johnston. So I was there in the Eastern Conference Finals, but not the Cup Finals.
Talking to Sean Gentile of The Athletic. All right, this has sort of become almost, I don't know, a trite topic, but it seems more relevant than ever. Is McDavid going to win? And if he does, if he doesn't, how does that affect his legacy, if at all, in your opinion?
I hate saying this because I think this sort of the rings discourse poisoned sports in a lot of ways. Like we get so hung up on that it stops us from paying attention to the finer points of stuff. So
yeah, and before you
go ahead.
Let me just add that LeBron was involved in a conversation like this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He phrased it as ring culture, and he said, why do we continue? I think he was talking about Halliburton. I didn't read the whole story. Why do we continue to blame one guy in a team sport? He says it's all the time, like this obsession with rings. He said, it's just weird to me. And I would argue that one player has way less of an effect in hockey than they do the NBA, but I just wanted to add that little LeBron context.
Oh God, it's inarguable, right? That's the biggest reason. That's the biggest defense that you can mount for McDavid right now, is that this isn't hoops where you have top players playing 47 minutes a night and having the usage rates through the roof. This isn't baseball where you have, you know, if you're a pitcher, where you have control over your environment and all that stuff. It's not football where Patrick Mahomes has the ball in his hands on every play. This is something else entirely, where even if you're the best player on earth, you're only going to be on the ice for, you know, a third of the game, 25 out of 60 minutes. So like, you gotta account for that to some extent. But if you put McDavid in the GOAT conversation, and that's where, by all other standards, he belongs at this point. It's how it's Orr, it's Gretzky, it's Lemieux, and it's him. And it's with Sid somewhere right there, just in terms of individual talent. All those guys got it done. They found a way to do it. And that's what makes it maybe a little unfair, but also that's the standard that we're working with. We can sit here and say hockey players only, you know, Connor McDavid averaged 25 minutes of a game during the finals or whatever it is and blah, blah. Those other guys did too. And they found a way to get it done. And they certainly didn't go pointless in game sevens and game six last year. And then I thought last night he was closer to bad than good. So, you know, he's fantastic. He's been great in closeout games and in high leverage situations at other times, in other rounds of the playoffs, in the Four Nations face-off, all that stuff. Like, we've seen it from him elsewhere, but, you know, the last 2 years, like, ball don't lie when it comes to this, man. Like, he hasn't been good in the production, hasn't been there.
Well, I don't know about you, but when they were parading the cup around last night, I'm thinking Penguins and a couple of things. Gratitude for having seen all the amazing, covered all the amazing games that I've covered with them. But also, my God, how far away are they from having another celebration like this? How lucky they've been, really, to have these generational guys one after another that have helped them to get there. So I ask you, two things, really, Sean. One is, how far away are they? How many years away are they from another celebration like this? And two, do you have a clear understanding of what the plan is here? And do you? And I'll add another one. Do you think Fenway Sports Group does?
I don't think you could even start the clock in terms of how many years they are off from this. Like, this is, how old's Alexander Barkov? He's been in the league for 10 years at this point, give or take.
29.
So to me, that's when Florida's clock started. When you have a player like that in the fold, you know, as an 18 or 19-year-old, you know, that's when you can start the clock.
Yes, be careful out there driving. Sean Gentile of The Athletic. You can catch him, too, on our YouTube channel, which you can get to via our website, 937thefan.com. Questions on the table, sort of all in one. How many years are the Penguins away from winning again? And are we clear on the plan, including Fenway Sports Group? Are they clear on what Kyle Dubas's plan is? Sean, you said you can't even really start the clock yet on this thing. Go ahead.
You got to have a foundational piece, like, and if you're talking about long term builds like this, right? Like, even if you're like Florida, who accomplished a lot of this by trade, they traded for Sam Reinhart, they traded for Sam Bennett. This wasn't a team that did it all through the draft. They didn't
right.
You know, spend 6 or 7 years, you know, tanking and amassing draft picks. Like, they did accelerate the process a bit there, but also they had some decent foundational pieces. Like, for right now, as far as I'm concerned, for Pittsburgh, it's Crosby and very little else. Like, what else can you say about the foundation that's their air quotes foundation that's there, you know, suggests even any kind of high end players beyond him? There's nothing. Like, we can sit here and talk about Sergei Marashov and, you know, Ville Koivunen and Rutger McGroarty and all these like functional organizations have dozens of those guys.
Right.
You know, we're like, everybody is like, well, they've amassed prospects, and to some extent they have, right? It's a testament to how barren the cupboard was, you know, whenever the Dubas regime took over. They didn't even have those guys. But to some extent, like, I think whenever you have a team that's trying to build like this, you end up really from ground up when it comes to prospects. You pin way too much on guys who maybe aren't that good. And Rutger McGroarty, like, middle six wing. Ville Koivunen, like, second liner, he can be in a power play, like, blah, blah. Like, any optimism about this franchise hinges on those guys popping immediately, right? And we know that that's just not the case. That's just not the way builds work. And the fact that those guys come in and are immediate difference makers, you know, the odds of it are just really low. So they got to find some other way to add true, no doubt impact pieces, whether that's through the draft, whether it's getting creative in free agency, whatever it is, because those guys are not in the fold right now. And anybody who acts like they are is whistling through the graveyard.
Lastly, do you think Fenway Sports Group has buyer's regret at this point? And what did you make of the, in your publication, The Athletic, Pierre LeBrun saying Mario, Burkle, Morehouse interested in a redo, the Lemieux redo?
If I'm Fenway, I would imagine they want to add investors. I don't think there's true buyer's remorse there in the sense that they're trying to sell 100% of the team off. I don't know how likely that is. It takes two to ten. Like Mario and Burkle and Morehouse and you and me and whoever else is a part of this theoretical ownership group, we can want a lot of things. You know, it takes two to tango. You can be a buyer. You also need a seller. And I don't know that it's a lock that FSG is trying to sell. You know, are they trying to bring on minority investors? I think that's a safe bet. Are they trying to sell off 100% of the franchise? That's just incredibly unlikely. Are they going to sell? I don't understand what the logic would be on their end. You're going to sell this team for $1 billion after buying it for $800 million? I don't know. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me logically, but them adding minority owners does. And I would imagine that's mainly what we're looking at here.
Sean, thank you for taking the time today. I didn't mean to insult you right off the bat. I think you look wonderful these days.
Well, you did. It's okay. I still love you.
I'll talk to you soon.
I always will. Goodbye.
Bye. Well,
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's quite a man, isn't he, Sean?
He's the second best Sean around, I would say.
Yeah, at least, I would say.
93. You know, he and I are pals.
What?
We went to trivia night together one time.
Yeah, and you hit it off?
He's very knowledgeable. He's outstanding at stuff like that, which, I mean, he kind of proved that, right? You started off talking about the WNBA, and he was not out of place talking about that.
Very well-rounded, man. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our Youth Baseball Softball Showcase presented by Sheets. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and the fan might make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Coming up, Sean has a football fix. How is Little Hands Pickett doing over in Cleveland? I believe that's one of the topics. We'll talk about that, and then we have a packed noon hour. Dan Zangrilli in here, and his post game last night was absolutely tremendous and rather incendiary, I might add. And me and Dan might fight about a couple of things in here regarding the Pirates, who just inspire rage. Let's just be honest with that. The Pirates inspire rage, which is better than apathy, I might add. And then at 12:30, the big boy, Mark Cabali. He never disappoints. First, Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. And to sell your home quickly and for the most money possible, you have to work with a real estate agent that uses proven marketing plans to get your home in front of the most qualified buyers. Amy was ready to sell her home in Dormont, reached out to Gina for help. With Gina's expert marketing strategies, she was able to sell Amy's home for over $300,000. Amy said that working with Gina was an incredible experience from start to finish. and that Gina's one of the best real estate agents she's ever worked with nationally. Thrilled with Gina's responsiveness, professionalism, and feedback throughout the process. So if you're in Pittsburgh, you're ready to buy or sell, call my friend Gina of RE/MAX Select Realty. You can't lose. She sits down with you. You agree on a price and a deadline. Deadline passes. Home isn't sold. Gina will have it bought and turned into a rental. Call Gina, 724-602-9752. Google GM Petro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com. City Limits is off on a non-wiffle ball trip, which is a surprise. We're darn proud of him, aren't we, Sean?
He's a wonderful man.
By the way, I enjoyed our pickup basketball game at the Fan 5 Alarm. I thought I played quite well.
We made quite a team,
yeah.
Along with Malzi.
Yeah, we
really
were good.
Unstoppable.
We were really good.
I think we won like 27-4 or something along those lines.
Of course, Harry Callis was on the other team, but yes, we did.
Yeah, he's not much for defending the paint.
No.
Would think he would kind of just sprout roots there, but he actually tries to play up top, and then you just
he tries
cut
to
him
play. He plays a perimeter offensive game too. I'm like, Harry, what are you doing? Nobody can move you. I'll throw it to you. It'll be like Chief in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Nobody can guard you. Just grab the ball, turn, and shoot a layup. Nobody's stopping it. But he wants to shoot threes, old Harry Callis. I was shocked. You're a good rebounder, and I was also surprised by your basketball acumen. And I want to play more, Sean. Do you play regularly?
I would like to. It's not that easy to kind of get people together.
Who plays and where?
We've played around the studio a handful of times when maybe like we're overlapping shifts. So Joel Nelson and Seth Davis are big into it. I've tried to get Malzi to play, and he always brings up his, what do you have, like a hip?
Knee, yeah, knee problem.
Yeah.
How about when Malzi went flying over the bleachers at the
that
Fan
was scary.
5 Alarm?
He made it out unscathed, thankfully.
I thought he was going to be severely injured. There was a tiny, tiny little set of bleachers. Was it even bleachers or what was it?
No, it was maybe some equipment, I think, right?
It looked like bleachers. It was a steel contraption that if you weren't looking, you wouldn't see it. And there goes old Malzi finally hustling for a loose ball. And he throws it back in bounds and goes flying ass over tea kettle over the little thing. I thought he would have some sort of head injury. Luckily, he was okay other than his pride.
Was that a big head joke about Malzi there?
No, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't put it like a crater into the driveway there at the Fan 5 Alarm with his cranium. All right, Sean, it's a football fix. Please, I'd like to hear what you have to say.
All right, we've got potentially four topics to get to today. We're going to talk a lot about the Steelers division, the AFC North. So we'll begin with the Browns. Everyone knows that their quarterbacks have been under the microscope this offseason. They've added bunch of guys. It doesn't really seem like they have a great plan. We're getting some conflicting reports about what they're ultimately going to do. For the last few weeks now, there's been a lot of talk about a former Steeler quarterback, Kenny Pickett's struggles with the Browns. Maybe he would be the guy that they ultimately will move off of, whether that being trading him or leasing him, whatever.
He's having troubles getting through 7-on-7s with no defensive backs. I mean, this is, I mean, just like throwing to his own guys. 7-on-none, I should say. Old Small Hands is having troubles here.
ESPN Cleveland's Aaron Goldhammer said he is the consensus worst player among the quarterbacks. Keep in mind, two of those players are rookies.
Yeah.
However, there's also reports Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com thinks that there's a real chance they both enter and finish the 2025 season with all four of their quarterbacks, not counting Deshaun Watson, who's going to be out for the season, but Flacco, Pickett, and then the two rookies, Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, all four will be on the roster.
That is incredible.
Most teams nowadays do two quarterbacks on the roster, and then they can have the emergency guy.
Well, why would you keep four? And then is Watson going to be eligible at some point?
I don't think he's going to be on the active roster all season. I think he'll be out for the entire campaign to their benefit, to be
honest.
Can't
be good when you're one of the quarterbacks, and I'm talking about Watson, and the owner has said of you, we swung and missed. That can't be a boost to your confidence, can it, Sean? He can't be there for long.
No, but I think they're kind of stuck with just riding it out while he sits there and recovers and, you know, they go this opposite direction. But I don't know what direction. I don't really know that they have a plan right now. I think they're just going to see if anyone kind of separates themselves. And it doesn't seem like they're potentially going to move on from any of these guys. Even if Pickett continues to struggle like this, they might feel more value in just keeping him around on the roster for this upcoming season, which could be a real mess. Who do you think starts the most games at quarterback this season for Cleveland?
Man, what a great question.
Thank you.
I was thinking Pickett until, Ghost started stopping him in minicamp and things like that. They seem to like Dylan Gabriel. I'm going to go with Joe Flacco. How do you like that?
It never seems like he's the first choice, but when someone falters, he's always there, and he'll at least put a good stretch of a handful of games together. So I don't think that that's a bad choice. I don't think he'll be their starter game one, but I could see him maybe the second, third, fourth month of the season getting a run.
I think Dylan Gabriel might get in there, and I feel very sad, Sean, about the Kenny Pickett legacy in Pittsburgh. All joking aside, it feels sad. It feels like the worst thing that happened was he got drafted here. He should be remembered as a guy who lifted Pitt to heights it hadn't seen since the 80s when he took them to an outright conference championship and on national television with Pitt flags waving in the stadium and everybody on national TV seeing that. He delivered one of the iconic plays, I thought, in bowl history in the fake slide. I mean, it was awesome. He was great that year. And instead, he's remembered way more because of the Steelers compared to Pitt. He's remembered way more in this town for failing as the Steelers quarterback and leaving under, questionable circumstances. It sounded to a lot of people like he quit. That just makes me sad. Shouldn't be that way, but it is.
I think there were some people that thought maybe he would have a chance to get another crack at it in Philadelphia. That would be a good fit for him. One and done. Now, obviously, he was part of a Super Bowl, but now he's going to a bitter rival, and I think most people in Pittsburgh, even Pitt fans, would probably be rooting against him at this point and hoping that he does kind of flame out with Cleveland and turns out to be disastrous, which
do
looks
you agree
like
that him getting drafted here was the worst thing that ever happened to him?
Well, definitely for his Pittsburgh legacy. There's no doubt about that. For how Pittsburgh fans view him, it's turned out
for
terribly.
For his career, too. I mean, he was thrown in with Matt Canada.
There's a lot of teams that are not good with quarterbacks. Obviously, you think of the Bears and the Jets. But yeah, I would say probably one of the five worst scenarios, seeing how it played out in retrospect. At the time when they drafted him, I wouldn't have said this is a terrible spot for him. But looking back now, hindsight 2020, yeah, it turned out to be nearly worst case scenario for him, I would say.
Next.
So we'll keep it in the same division and with the Baltimore Ravens and their quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He apparently is not too happy with how people have talked about one of his teammates, Mark Andrews, who was the GOAT and not in a good way in their postseason blunder last year. He says, "My guy be getting talked about, and I really don't like that. He's done so much for us and how people did him. I don't like that. Mark's still Mark." So he's sticking up for his teammate, but can you really blame anyone for ripping Mark Andrews for basically costing them a chance at a Super Bowl?
Well, hold on a second here, Sean. It was Lamar himself, and I think he acknowledged this because I read the same story you're reading. Lamar had some critical turnovers in that game, a terrible interception and a fumble that really sort of changed the game for good when you really look at it. So did Mark Andrews cost them? Plus, it only would have been a tie game, I might add.
Right.
Did he really cost them the game? I mean, it was sort of a Jackie Smith-type legendary gaffe. But Lamar didn't have a great game himself. And I saw in the same story, he's vowing retribution and revenge on the league. And, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets it. I honestly thought the Ravens were the better team in Buffalo that night. But Josh Allen, to his great credit, decided, you know what? I'm not going to lose this game tonight. He was far from spectacular, but he didn't lose the game. And sometimes that's the deal in the playoffs. I'll be sort of, the best way to phrase it, the bigger man or the smarter player here by just not trying to play hero ball and not losing the game. Lamar lost the game. Josh Allen didn't.
Now, I don't know if he was explicitly asked about Mark Andrews, but do you like Jackson defending his teammate, or is it better just to steer clear of that conversation
altogether? Best to defend it. You know, I can only imagine the vitriol that guy has received. And I'm a Lamar fan. But, you know, we get to this topic. I remember having Peter King on when he used to come on with Ron and I. Do you have a Ron clip that could remind me of Ron at 11:54 on June 18th or whatever it is?
Oh, we're overlapping here. Hold on.
No, that's okay. Don't worry about it. You can do that later, Sean.
Yeah, we'll get Ron laughing at some point today.
Peter King, I said, do you think Josh Allen will win a Super Bowl? He said, absolutely. He said, okay. Well, I think he will too, except I also think Burrow will, and I think Lamar will in the AFC. Those are three, I think, going to wind up being three all-time great quarterbacks, but there's only so many Super Bowls to go around. First of all, the NFC just won it last year. They've got some good quarterbacks too. Which of the, let's take those three guys, those three inarguably great players, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. If you had to pick two of the three get a Super Bowl, who's the odd man out, Sean?
Right now, it feels like Burrow, because I just don't know that they're going to, this season or anytime soon, play enough defense for him. And
who's the one who definitely gets one of those three? That's a better question.
I think Josh Allen will.
I don't.
So you could say that Lamar's had the best team throughout his time out of the three.
I might say Buffalo has, actually, overall for the whole time. Buffalo has set a record. I believe it's 5 years. They've had more wins than any team to never have appeared in a Super Bowl. To not have appeared in a Super Bowl over those 5 years.
And Burrow at least has that. He's got the Super Bowl appearance, and he's got the victory over Mahomes in the playoffs.
He does, but he plays for the Bengals. Josh Allen and the Bills are just star-crossed. They should have gone to the Super Bowl at least twice, and you only get so many kicks at the can. I think Lamar is the guy who's going to get over the hump. I thought he would have last year. If they could have gotten out of Buffalo, I think they might have actually won the Super Bowl, certainly got there. But man, there's a chance all three never do, because there's still a Mahomes guy there. There's Justin Herbert. I think they're building a good team. Denver is starting to rise, and C.J. Stroud is a good player. Notice the team I didn't mention.
The Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, who's their guy for the future? Nobody knows.
Skylar Thompson.
Next.
So, speaking of the Bengals and their issues defensively...
They stink.
It seems as though they were an impasse for a long time with Trey Hendrickson.
They stink.
They have resumed contract talks. What will be the conclusion? And
oh,
will
my
even
God,
matter?
Am I unbelievably bored with this story, but it remains a story. To me, the big story here is T.J. Watt, Hendrickson, Micah Parsons. I just saw Florio, other people saying that Micah Parsons will absolutely get the biggest deal out of all those guys, bigger than Myles Garrett. He'll be the highest paid defensive player in history. Do you think if he signs that before TJ signs, TJ's going to be like, I want to be that. Why shouldn't TJ be that guy?
Yeah, it seems like an order of operations thing, right? Whoever signs first will then get trumped by the next guy
right.
who signs. Although I think the difference is Parsons is younger. So it makes a little bit more sense if you were to pay him more, although Dallas has already given out some massive contracts and has really kind of handcuffed its flexibility to bring in complementary pieces. But yeah, I would think the next guy that signs, especially if it's Watt, will surpass Garrett. And then if Parsons signs after Watt, I think it would be a very short-lived time as the highest-paid defensive player for T.J. Watt.
Man, I wouldn't blame T.J. Watt for standing up and saying, this is my last big contract, maybe my last one, period, and I'm the best defensive player in the league, and I want to be the highest-paid defensive guy. Pay me.
And I think
and you know what? You know what? I wouldn't pay him, by the way, but I completely respect his right to demand that. I would, too, and he has a good case for it. I just don't think this franchise at this particular time should be in the business of handing out, you know, 40 plus million per year to a 31-year-old edge rusher who's never been part of a winning playoff game. Oh, I'm sorry, has never been part of a team that has even competed in a playoff game and come close to winning. And it's not his fault. Don't get me wrong, though he hasn't exactly been Lawrence Taylor in the playoffs. But you get the point, right? They don't have a quarterback.
There is so much talk about how the Steelers should have gotten ahead of the curve and given him a contract before Garrett got his so that you could get a discount.
Yeah.
I also think, however, while the Steelers maybe would have benefited from that, Watt would not have benefited. He's smart enough to realize the longer I wait, the more money I'm going to get. So likely. It has to work both ways.
Likely. This still could get plenty ugly. I still have the image in my mind of that Instagram post with him giving the peace sign. Okay, that was very unusual move from TJ Watt, and I don't know what the hell it meant, but it seems to have meant that things aren't going great here with these negotiations. And that was back at the beginning. And if Micah outdoes Miles, then TJ's going to want more than both.
Yes.
All right. So things could get very, very spicy on that front. Speaking of...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.